So let's just have a word of prayer before we read. Father, thank you for your words to us, your word which is everlasting and true, powerful to touch and change hearts and minds. May our hearts and minds be open and attentive to your word this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, "We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart." How easy it is for brothers and sisters, how easy it is in our walk with the Lord to lose heart, because it's hard going. Following Jesus is a hard path to choose. We don't choose to follow Jesus because it's going to be easy. And it's easy to lose heart when we're under pressure. It's easy to feel discouraged. Sometimes we look at, you know, we look at our church, we look at the size of our church, we look at our effect in reaching our village for Jesus Christ, and we lose heart. It's easy to become discouraged under pressure of opposition and persecution. It's easy to lose heart. And Paul knew this. He spent much of his ministry in prison. He spent much of his ministry facing severe opposition and persecution. He knew what it was to be tempted to lose heart. And we can often be in a situation where we become discouraged and disillusioned. And so Paul writes these words to encourage us, words that have travelled down the centuries, because the experience of the church is always the same. The church is always under persecution and opposition. One of the things that I learned through working with Release International was I realised that there's no such thing as the church that is free and the church that is persecuted. There's just the church which is persecuted and faces opposition, because that's the reality. Jesus said if he was persecuted, then we should expect persecution and opposition also, because we're choosing to live our lives under the allegiance to a new king, a different king. In Paul's day, Caesar was king, and if you declared anyone else to be king, you got into trouble. And the reality is, Christians always say, well, we have a different king that we worship. And whatever culture or society you live in, to declare your allegiance to a king other than the cultural king invites opposition. And so Paul reminds the folk at Corinth, reminds us that the ministry that we've been given, the ministry of telling other people that there's a new king in town, that there is a new king, Jesus, the rightful king of the world, that ministry we've been given through God's mercy, because he loves us and he's shown us mercy that we don't we don't deserve and we don't merit. And we know that he loves us. He first loved us, and we respond in giving ourselves to him. And so Paul writes to encourage, and he encourages us. We've renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception. We don't distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. In the end, as followers of Jesus, we have one job, and that is to make him known and to proclaim his word and to make his word known. And that's the one job that we've been given. There are lots of things that flow out of that, but essentially, our job is to make the good news of Jesus known, because the good news of Jesus is, it's a message of reconciliation. It's a message that leads to peace. It's a message that leads to eternal life. So Paul says, don't lose heart. You've got one job. Make the good news known. Don't lose heart when people don't want to listen. Don't lose heart when you tell people about Jesus and it just bounces off. It's like water off a duck's back, because, verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. There are people who they can't see the good news. You can explain it in the best words that you have and explain it in the best way that you can, and it just, sometimes it doesn't land at all. It just bounces off. And Paul says, well, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. That will happen, because God has blind, the minds of unbelievers have been blinded by the God of this age. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. What Paul is saying, he's saying, don't worry about the result. That's God's responsibility. You've got one job, and your job is to make known the good news of Jesus. That's it. What happens when you do that? Well, that's for the Lord. And in the mystery of God's economy, sometimes we will tell people about the good news of Jesus and they will respond instantly and welcome Jesus into their hearts and follow him faithfully for the rest of their lives. And sometimes we'll do it and it will bounce off, be like water off a duck's back, because we can't change people's hearts. Verse 6, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. The reason that we are here this morning following Jesus is because God made his light shine in our hearts. We often think that we have come to faith. We have responded. But actually, it's response to something that God has done. He's shone his light into our hearts. So one job we've been given, to make known the good news of Jesus. And it will be costly. Verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, we're weak, we're frail, we're inadequate. We don't know, we stumble, we don't know how to tell people about Jesus. We miss so many opportunities. We are jars of clay. And yet we carry the presence of Jesus, this all-surpassing power of God, so that when the gospel lands and produces a wonderful harvest, we can never boast and say, well, I did that. That was me. It's never us. It's always Jesus working in us and through us. So we mustn't be discouraged by the results or lack of results. One job we've been given, to make known the good news of Jesus. And amazingly, that's how God works, to tell people about his good news. He doesn't kind of shout from heaven or blast a trumpet from heaven and get everyone's attention. He's left it to his church, to jars of clay. And it's costly. Verse 8, we are hard pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. So Paul's saying, if we go about this business of making Jesus known, we shouldn't be surprised when these are the things that we experience. We'll be hard pressed. We'll be perplexed. We'll be persecuted. We'll be struck down. But we won't be crushed. We won't need to despair. We'll never be abandoned. And we won't be destroyed. because, as we were singing in that song just a few moments ago, because he's with us. He's with us. In different ways, our following of Jesus will cost us. It might just cost us friends. It might just cost us a bit of reputation. It might cost us our lives. But it will cost us. And if it's not costing us anything, then there's something not quite right. Because if we're faithfully proclaiming Jesus, that will challenge the rulers and authorities. Remember Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If we are following Jesus faithfully, we will feel the wind of opposition against us. He says, verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Jesus set us an example that in being faithful and obedient to his Father, it cost him his life. He suffered and died. He set us an example, and he said, well, if you follow me, expect the same. So as we face opposition, as our brothers and sisters around the world face severe persecution, they're following a saviour, a Lord who suffered and died. That's part and parcel of the Christian life. So Paul says, don't lose heart. There will be times when we're tempted to lose heart. And the reasons that we don't lose heart are because we've been given a ministry through God's mercy, which we didn't deserve. We've been reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And our privilege is to tell others about the good news that we have discovered. And our encouragement is that we're not to worry about the results. We're just to seek to be faithful in telling others about Jesus in whatever way we can, and then trusting that by his Holy Spirit he'll wake up people who are asleep, and he'll bring to life those who are dead in their sins and transgressions. That's his work. And we mustn't look at our frailty and our all the times that we get it wrong, and all the times that we miss opportunities to tell people about Jesus, and we kick ourselves, and because we are jars of clay, and that's what we will be like. But we contain a treasure. And as often as we fall down, we just need to pick ourselves up and say, this treasure is still in me. I still carry it. I still know Jesus. His Spirit is still dwelling in me. I can get up and go again. And as I do that, well, sometimes it will be hard, but I shouldn't be surprised by that. That's just the way it is. And Jesus was the one who set me my example of suffering and dying, but then rising again. And that's the hope. That's the hope that we have. So may we never lose heart. It was a lovely, there's a little connection church over at in Kent, in Broad Oak. And there are four that meet on a Sunday, and they've been four for as long as I can. In the 15 years that I've been in Connection, they've always been about four. I think they might have gone up to seven, had a little bit of revival, and now they're down to four. But there's a lovely lady, June, who comes to conference as their representative, and she is always so positive. She's so positive. And she was reporting that a retired pastor has recently joined them and is going to come every Sunday to help them out. And she was so thrilled. She was so thrilled. And every time I see her, I only see her once a year at the conference, she never loses heart. You know, she's in this tiny little church. There's like four of them, but all over 80. And they just love meeting together and worshipping Jesus. And they never lose heart. And a great example to us. So let's just pray for a moment. And then we're going to watch a video. And then we'll pray again for some of our brothers and sisters. So let's pray.